Isaiah chapter number 10, if you would please. I'll share a couple of verses with you this morning. Again, thank you so much for allowing me to be here today. I don't take that lightly. And thank Pastor Ross for letting me come be a part of the ministry here. We were talking this morning about Bible publishing. I'd like to read a couple more quotes for you as you're turning in your scripture to Isaiah chapter number 10. A missionary in Haiti named Arthur Spalding. I texted him not long ago, emailed him, and I said, Brother Spalding, we have a distribution center there. And I said, Brother Spalding, do you need any more scripture? And this is what was his reply. He says, we have given out all the scripture you sent down throughout Haiti. Now, we've probably sent a couple of containers down. He says, I want you to know that there were many testimonies of appreciation. Many expressed that this was the best aid that has come to Christians and the churches here in Haiti. When you consider that these people are often hungry, without adequate clothing and shoes, or wiped out from storms, this statement takes on huge significance. Reminds me of that song, I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. They're saying, I would rather have Bibles than clothing. I would rather have Bibles than food. Man, what a testimony. Another missionary, Dr. Stan Fry, over Gateway International Missions, who works in these prisons in Africa, he wrote a letter and he says, we never have enough copies of God's Word. But the prisoners there are just thrilled to get any portion of the Bible. You folks are making it possible for us to share Jesus and the Word of God with literally thousands of people that would never get a copy of God's Word were it not for your generosity. I have literally caused riots in prisons giving out Bibles when I didn't have enough for everyone. Well, praise the Lord for places like this. I thank the Lord for your outreach to these young people. I saw these young people before they went to Sunday school class, and I've seen them in this auditorium, and I thank God for churches that invest in young people. I was one of those one day, and I thank the Lord for that opportunity. Isaiah chapter number 10, we're going to start in verse number 17. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 17. The Bible says, and the light of Israel shall be for a fire, and his Holy One for a flame. And it shall burn and devour his thorns and his briars in one day, and shall consume the glory of his forest and of his fruitful field, both soul and body, and they shall be as when a standard bearer fainteth, and the rest of the trees of his forest shall be few that a child may write them. I'd like to focus on this morning the phrase, and they shall be as when a standard bearer fainteth. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for the good day you've given us. Thank you for allowing us to meet freely in this house. And Lord, what a great day it is. Lord, we pray that you would work in hearts and lives. Lord, as we learn and grow today, that we would take that out into where we live, that others may know about you and may worship you. And Lord, may it spread through our Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. Lord, we love you today. Be with Pastor, be with the missionaries, be with my pastor as he's preaching this morning, and my family. Glorify yourself. Hide me behind the cross. Lord, let what is said today be your words and not mine. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, this word standard bearer, we don't use that a lot in our terminology today. I don't think I've heard a lot of messages on the standard bearer. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. But that standard, basically, that it's talking about is a flag or an ensign or a banner. We have some standards here this morning. We have an American standard and we have a Christian standard. They are flags. They represent something. Now, in the Bible here, God was talking to Israel and he is getting ready to judge Assyria. You see, God allowed Assyria to take Israel captive for 70 years. And Assyria had gotten proud. Assyria said, "It's all me. Look what we have done." And they have they got proud on God. And if you'll read that chapter all the way through, it talks about their pride and how that God was going to judge Assyria. And God relayed Assyria or gave them a picture of what Assyria was going to be like when God got done with them. He called them, he said, they are going to be as a standard bearer that fainted. Now, a standard bearer is just one that bears a standard or bears the flag. Basically, what he was saying was, as long as the standard is in the upright position, the nation still stands. You understand that? As long as the standard is held high, that nation still stands. But when the standard bearer faints, that standard goes to the ground, which signifies the fall of that nation. You understand that? And so God was going to judge Assyria, and they were going to be as a standard bearer that fainted, or God was going to take care of that nation, and they were going to fall because of their pride. Now, I can relay that to a lot of things. We could probably relay that to our nation. I love our country, and I will fight for our country, and I will live for our country. But I tell you what, pride is the destruction of a nation. But Israel understood this term as a standard bearer that fainted. If you will turn with me to the book of Numbers, chapter number 2, we'll go back in history, and then we'll look through history up until now. But Numbers chapter number 2, Israel understood, in verse 34, Israel understood what a standard bearer did. We're going to talk a little bit about this morning, and then we will be done. But if you will read through the first several chapters of Numbers in your own time, it will bring up this word standard. And each tribe was to have a standard. In verse 34 of chapter 2 of Numbers, the Bible says, "And the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so they pitched by their standards. And so they set forward, everyone after their families, according to the house of their fathers." Now, God had a structure for the children of Israel. Now, in the middle of the whole unit of the children of Israel, in this passage, God puts the tabernacle. Inside the tabernacle was an inner place called the Holy of Holies. Inside the Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant. And inside the Ark of the Covenant were the testimonies of God. You see, God surrounded everything around His Word. And today, I believe that everything we do should be surrounded by God's Word. We should be guided by this book. And so God put in its place, in the very center of the camp of the children of Israel, the testimonies of God, the mercy seat of God. And so, as we read in this story, as we read in this narrative, God started placing around that tabernacle families. And they were to be positioned according to their standard. We find around the temple were to be the three sons, the families of the three sons of Levi. Okay? And Levi had three sons, and one was to be on one side, one was to be on the other side, and one was to be on the other side. Because they had a position and a job. What I want to say to you this morning, the standard always positions families for service. That standard positioned families for service. And so God positioned each family out of that tribe of Levi around that tabernacle, and then Moses and Aaron and his families were to be on the other side. They were to encompass the tabernacle of that day, because they had a job. Now, I don't have time to explain what each job was, but one of the sons of Levi, their job was the holy things, the Word of God. They were responsible for the holy things. And so I won't go into all that today, but the standard always positioned the families for service. Then around the families of the Levites, Then God positioned the families of Israel, the other children. He had Dan and Asher and Judah and Ishtar and Ephraim and Manasseh and Benjamin. And there were three families on each side. Three on the north, three on the south, three on the east, three on the west. They were all positioned for service to God. Okay? They were all positioned by their standard. We read here in verse 34 that the Lord commanded Moses, so they pitched their standards. So they pitched their standards. So God said, I want you families to put a flag or a banner where you're supposed to be, and that's where I want you to live, and that is for service. God told them to make two horns out of brass. The first horn they would blow, and that would gather the children of Israel in for a meeting. Okay? He'd blow one, the trumpet would sound, the heads of those tribes would come in, and they would have a meeting. If they blew two horns, they were out for battle. So not only did God position by their standards, by their flags, by their ensigns for service, but he positioned them, the troops, for battle. They were positioned. In the Bible, it talks about here in Numbers that Judah always led in battle. That's interesting. Judah always led in battle. So when they would take the two trumpets and blow the two trumpets, Judah would grab their flag and they would lead into battle. Then the others would circle around the camp and follow Judah. Can I say this morning, Judah's still leading the pack. That lion of the tribe of Judah is still leading the pack. You know what? He's still going out before us. He's still battling before us. You know, he conquered death and hell and the grave for us. And all we got to do is follow him. Pretty interesting. So it's all led. They were all led or positioned by that standard. So that standard was vital for the children of Israel. So, well, that standard was to position the families for service. It was to organize the troops for battle. But that standard also preceded the tribes to their next destination. You see, there was a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And so that cloud and that fire, when that cloud and that fire would move, then they would move as well. Then the children of Israel would move as well. When the fire and the pillar would take off, God was saying, I want you to go somewhere else. And they would grab their standards, and they would go forward, and they would lead by that standard. And God would reposition them. I think this is on.
I'm not sure. I'm getting it. Is it on now? Okay, I'm sorry. I turned it off. I got excited. And so God would lead those children of Israel out by that standard. When God moved, they moved. They would grab that standard and go forward and then go where God wanted them to go, and then they would position that standard. In recent history, we find another standard that hung high. I don't know if you know Mary Pickersgill. Not a very famous name in history. But she was commissioned by Major George Armstead in the Battle of Fort McHenry. And she was commissioned to put together, to sew together, an American flag. That flag was 30 by 42 feet long. That flag took 6 weeks to hand stitch. It took 40 yards of material, and it could be seen from 7 miles away. You see, this general wanted to make sure that the British army that was coming by boat could tell who held the fort. He wanted them to understand that the American colonists held the fort. And over the events of that night, where the bombs burst in air and the rockets' red glare, a man on the side in another ship penned down a poem that we now call our national anthem. It was written because of that standard that flew the next day. Because you understand that as long as that standard flew high and that standard flew straight, that who occupied that fort was still there. That was a standard. And that standard means something in the world today. That standard means something to our country. There are 13 stripes, 7 red and 6 white. They represent the original 13 colonies. The stars represent the 50 states of the Union. The red stands for hardiness and valor. The white for purity and innocence. The blue for vigilance, perseverance, and justice. You know what, folks? This flag stands for something. And I'm so glad that it still flies in this country today. You know, in the Civil War, they would take that standard, flag of the sides, and they would command whole armies based on where that flag stood. Here the general would be, and he would make plans for war, and he would say, "Okay, fellas, I want the standard to go on that hill." And when the standard bearer would take the standard to that hill, then the soldiers would know where to fight and where to battle, and they would follow that standard around. Now, I don't know if you have thought about this before, but can anybody name one standard bearer in history? Just one. You know why? Because the importance isn't on the standard bearer. The importance is the standard. We know a lot of generals. But there's been some faithful, life-giving standard bearers that have given their life for the cause of the flag that they hold. There's supposedly be a museum of standard bearers somewhere in this country. But that standard bearer had a great cause, and he fought a great fight. And when that standard bearer would fall, it said that another would drop what he was doing and grab the standard, because it was so vitally important to carry the standard. I like the Olympics. I like to watch the Olympics. I like all those neat games. I wish I could do them all, but I can't. But you know, in the beginning of the Olympics, what do? They have a big procession where all the countries come in and they carry something in with them. They all carry the flag or the ensign or the standard of that country. And so as they proceed through, you've got somebody in the lead, and he always leads. And then you've got all this fanfare behind them, and people clap, and it's exciting, and they do all kinds of stuff. And they carry that standard in, representing their country. But folks, as much as I love the other countries, and as much as I love their standards, I'm waiting for one. I'm waiting for that red, white, and blue to march down the aisle. And that gets me excited, and I'm so proud when that standard comes by. When they win the games, you know what? You know what goes up? The winner's flag. And they sing the hymn of that country. I know winning's not everything, but I sure like to see that flag go up. It means something. It's important too. But folks, can I say this morning? As much as I love Old Glory, as much as I love the red, white, and blue, as much as I love my country, there is a greater standard to hold high. You know what? Many people have given their lives for this flag, but this one, someone's given their life for us. It's a life-giving standard. Folks, this standard positions us for service. If you are a member of this church, you have a job to do, and this book will help you do it. This positions us to do something for the glory of God. It is a standard that will arrange us in the position that God has created you for. Can I say this? Many of you today have jobs. It's hard to find a job in this country anymore. Many people are losing their jobs. But wherever you're at, whether it's at work or at school or whether it's in your home, you're not there just to make money or just to learn about books. You are there to do something even greater, because all you are is a standard bearer. You've got to relook at the position you hold at your job. God gave you that position because He wanted a soldier to go there and hold this up. He wanted you to have that job or to be in that school or to have that family to do this. To hold the standard up. To hold the Word of God up. He positions us for service. You know, you're in the town you are and in the home you are because God placed you there. Not because it's something that you really enjoy. Not it's because you found this really neat house on the street. God said, I want you here in this home, on this street, among these neighbors to do this. And hold a standard so that people can come to Christ. He positions you for service. Folks, can I say this? He's set us out in order for the battle as well. Can I say this morning? We meet here in this church, and I don't know the reason you came for, but can I say this? We're not playing games. We can't afford to play games. This is a battle we are in. There are lives at stake. There are people in this community that will die and go to hell. Their families are going to separate. Their families are got problems. Their families need help. Their families need a standard bearer that's serious about God, that's serious about the battle, that'll hold up the flag and go out and fight for their lives. We've got a job to do. He positions us for service. He organizes us for battle. But can I say this morning? When God says go, you need to pick up the standard and go. I love my church. I was born in Ohio and raised in a small church there, not far from where I go to church now. And my wife and I, we got married and moved back to where she's from, South Carolina. And moved to South Carolina, and I wasn't following the Lord anyway, got saved, got into a local church, and served there. I served there. God positioned me there for something. I worked with young people. I was in discipleship, and I was doing a lot in that church. In a small church, either the pastor does it or the people that want to help the pastor do it. Okay? And so we were one of those families. And so we went on visitation, one of the few families that went on visitation, one of the few families that did something. And I don't say that to get an applause. I'm just saying that because it's true. But one day, I finished Bible college there. I was working a job. My wife had a business. We had plans in that church. But one day God said, I want you to move. All of a sudden that pillar of fire and that cloud of smoke started to move to Milford, Ohio. And we looked at each other and we said, we don't understand it all. but we're going to go. We took the standard, and now God has placed us in Milford, Ohio, in this ministry. Folks, God may have you here the rest of your life doing this, but I beg to differ that there's probably a few of you in here that God says, I want you in Africa. I need someone to bear a standard in Australia. I need someone to bear a standard in Romania. I want somebody to bear a standard on a little street corner in Russia. I need somebody to move. I wonder who that is. God is preparing your heart. God is preparing you here so that He could take a soldier, a committed soldier, to move somewhere else to hold the standard high. I'll tell you a story and I'll close. I was in Africa this past fall. Me and my son went there, and we were there with a missionary, and we were going into prisons and schools. Our teams went into 50 prisons and schools, and were there for a couple of weeks, and God opened up a lot of doors. But it was later in the evening. We were tired. We stayed at a motel. It was easier for us to have a good night's sleep and to eat decent food than it was to be sick all the time. So the missionary put us up in a motel, and I was sitting there. It was late at night. I wanted my son to have a little break from me. So he was in the room, kind of relaxing, and I came out into the lobby area. There's a couple of restaurants there, and they serve food right in this walkway. There was a couple of tables, and I just sat down, and I just got my Bible out, and I just started reading. Well, as I was reading, not long after that, one of the guys that was in our group came down and sat down. His name was Joey, and Joey sat down. So what I did was I closed my Bible, and I set it in between us on a table, and we were talking. There was a waiter that was coming by. He was a young African man, and he had walked by because there was a table over here in the corner that someone was having drinks or eating or something. And so he was walking back and forth, and I didn't really pay a whole lot of attention to him. But soon that couple left, and he was doing some cleanup, and he came through one more time, and he stopped right in front of us. And he looked at me, and he said, "Sir, is that a Bible?" I paused for a second. I said, "Yes, sir, that is a Bible." And I quote his words, "I want to be saved right now." That's what he told me. "I want to be saved right now." Was it the standard bearer that brought him to Christ, or the standard? But it was the standard bearer that had the standard. All he saw was the standard. And God pricked his heart. And for 20 minutes, I took that book and went through what the Bible says. Not what I say, what the Bible says. And that young African man got on his knees and cried out to the God of heaven and said, "I am lost. There is no hope but you. I receive Jesus as my Savior." You know why? Because there was a faithful standard bearer just doing what God told him to do. Can I ask you this question? Are you a standard bearer that has fainted, or that's tired, or that's weary? Folks, we don't have time. People need the gospel. They need it in your schools. They need it in your work. They need it in your neighborhood. They need it in the world. Amen. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Folks, you may be here today and you're wore out and you're tired. You think life has passed you by, but you're here for a reason, and that's to hold a standard. Would you be that faithful standard bearer that God wants? Would you be that one that wherever God places you, you may be in a home that's broken, but God says, I want you to stand in that home. I want you to be a witness to your mom and dad, or your mom or your dad, or your brothers or your sisters. I need you to be there for me. Will you be that faithful standard bearer? Maybe there's someone here today that doesn't know Christ as their Savior. It's never had anyone take the standard and show them how they can become a child of God. What a great day to do that. Today could be the day. Today could be the day where your life changes. Folks, it's not religion. I'm telling you, I don't have religion. I have Christ. He made a difference. And I'm not telling you what I think. I'm just telling you what he says. Let's just be faithful standard bearers. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Would you stand with me this morning? We're going to pray. Hannes is going to come and in just a moment and play a small hymn. But folks, our nation needs us more than ever. They need standard bearers that will be faithful. I have some goals in my life. I have three main goals in my life. I want to be used of God. I want to be effective for God. And I want to finish. Do you have any goals today as a standard bearer? Maybe you're lost and without Christ. We're going to give an invitation. And if God has spoke to your heart, however, today, would you slip out of the pew when the music starts in just a moment after we pray? If God has spoken your heart, all you do is slip out and come. Christian, if God's spoken your heart, you come. Father, thank you for the day. Glorify yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.